Hey, welcome to another Thursday evening edition of Sports Look here on K-Radio, brought to you by our fantastic Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, and Exchange Bank. Upcoming K-Radio sports schedule, here we go. We're filling it up Friday night. Tomorrow night, we'll have our first high school football game here on K-Radio as it will be the Atchison Phoenix at home. And they're going to be hosting Ottawa, a team that we haven't seen in quite some time. We'll talk about that here in a second. Saturday afternoon, really Saturday at high noon, where the pregame is starting at 11:30 in the morning. The Benedictine Ravens on the road, and they have a quality opponent. As they will be in Des Moines and playing Grandview University. The Vikings, number two team in the nation, played in the national championship game last fall. So two great games coming up tomorrow and Saturday here on Care Radio. Tom Couts, Gus Couts with you, and Gus, high school football starting, and first thing, we need to clean up a little paperwork, because we always talk about the Kansas City Atchison League and, you know, the teams involved in it. Well, we're going to be talking about the teams involved in it, but we're not going to be calling it the KCAL anymore.
Yeah, if you're looking up on different websites and you're looking for that KCAL and you can't find it anywhere, because I did the same thing back in July. Unbeknownst to me, it is now the Meadowlark League, because we added a team that's no longer in the Kansas City or Atchison metropolitan areas.
Yep, the Scotties have joined the program, as Highland Park is a part of the now Meadowlark League. So they continue to expand and change it around, and Acacia decided, you know what, we'll just name this conference for you. And so that has come in from Topeka, this name, the Meadowlark League.
Yeah, and for Highland Park, you talk about, let's say it. I mean, right now it's probably the longest losing streak in the state of Kansas, right, for the football program. They could get right in this conference, right? I mean, like they'll be a little more competitive with a couple of these teams, like maybe a Harmon once in a while. I mean, like, for Highland Park, it's a chance for them to maybe get out of this season with their first W in 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah. And again, maybe getting out of the shadow of some of the other Topeka area schools, too. You know, the Topeka Highs and the Topeka Wests and the Washburn Rurals and the teams with whom they had typically been playing all of these years. You know, maybe just, you know, a fresh
clean slate. What did they say? A change of scenery, yeah, for all these players. So, you know, for them, it's a good shot. And we're actually going to get to see Atchison hosting Highland Park a little later on in the season. But for week one, Atchison with the new opponent, they're going to take on Ottawa.
And even though it's a new opponent, you got a couple of coaches coming together here who, between the two of them, have coached like 50,000 games or something. I mean, these are a couple of experienced, quality coaches that will have these teams ready. Sometimes week one, we see teams that are, you know, kind of getting it together. I got a suspicion that these two teams are going to be ready to rock Friday.
Yeah, you talk about two coaches who have, you know, seen a lot of football, played a lot of football, sent a lot of guys on to play more football. Walt Alexander now at Ottawa, and you've got, you know, Jim Smith here at Atchison. So, should be a fun game Friday night, 7 o'clock kickoff from Amelia.
Other games going on around the Meadowlark League. Schlegel is going to travel over to Harmon. You'll have Sumner at home with Washington, and Highland Park will get that first conference game at home as they have the Bulldogs coming in out of Wyandotte.
In the Northeast Kansas League, Valley Falls makes its return to 11-man football.
Yeah, that's got to be a big change, and I'm suspecting Dragon fans are pretty happy with it.
Yeah, see, that's the question I had is, you know, you started getting used to 8-man football because you'd only had it for, what, maybe 2, 3 years? And now all of a sudden you're back to 11-man. So, you know, do you like the 8? Do you like the 11? I don't know. I mean, it's just, I'm sure, different.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to it, Valley Falls gets back to 11-man. And they get the defending Northeast Kansas League champions.
You're right. And ACCHS is a team that's being touted as one of the best ones around the state in their classification. So it's going to be very exciting to see how the Tigers do on the road down in Valley Falls. For Valley, one of the big things had to be, over the course of the summer, getting that field measured up again and restriped,
yeah,
and lined and move the goalposts and all of that.
Make it a little longer, make it a little wider, you know, when it's all said and done. Moore Hill Mount Academy seems like a normal thing for them starting the season with Oskaloosa. This year they're going to be at Oskaloosa for game one. JCN will make the short trip over to Easton, and they'll take on Pleasant Ridge that still throws my mind, right? That Winchester to Easton is much closer than it feels in my mind.
And, of course, JCN is also getting some votes in the statewide poll for their football team. And so it'll be interesting to see. Their quarterback's having a birthday today. So there's that. We heard that on the birthdays this morning. So JCN, and I'll tell you what. We've been talking about Atchison County and JCN and how both of them are looking to have a great game. What do you say next week we watch those two play?
I like it. Let's just go ahead and mark that down on the calendar.
Do it. We'll be with Atchison County and JCN next Friday, week from tomorrow.
Horton is going to go to Jackson Heights on Friday night, and Onega is going to make their trip back into 11-man football as well this year, as they're going to be at McLeod.
That's a good way to break in, isn't it? I mean, to come back in, you play a McLeod team who's going to be, you know, they're going to be ready, but they've had some struggles, and maybe Onega's going to get a quick foot up in things. Tell you what, yeah, there are tons of other games going on around the state of Kansas, and usually you see the big games really late in the year. In the state of Kansas, some of the biggest games in the state are going on tomorrow in week one.
Well, and you know, I think some of that becomes, you know, especially in the smaller classifications, it's because your districts are so many games, right? Like, you only have a couple out-of-district games that you're able to schedule, so you got to get them out of the way early, and it does. It sets up for big games in week one and two.
Yeah, 2A number 2, Nemaha Central, is at 3A number 2, Holton, tomorrow night. You got 2A number 3, Rossville, at 1A number 1, St. Mary's, coming tomorrow night. Tonganoxie, even though they are not in the same conference with Baser Linwood, they're less than 10 miles apart and have a tremendous rivalry and have some of the top players in the state in 4A. You got Perry at Sabetha.
How about Lawrence High playing tonight? Thursday night, 7 o'clock opener against Olathe South at Lawrence High. Should be a great game. It's probably one that I'm going to find myself, you know, kind of tuned into a little bit, as the Lions going to start quarterback junior Tyson Grammer tonight against Olathe. So pretty cool for Lawrence High getting started tonight.
Go Chesty Lions, right?
There you go.
Well, as we quickly shift over, oh, by the way, we got a jam-packed sports look here tonight. A couple of interviews we're going to be talking with as we are doing our tour of the Benedictine College football coaching staff and the assistant coaches to head coach Joel Osborne. We're going to have Jake on, Jake Leonard. He's one of the more tenured ones next to Pop. He's probably second. And so we're going to be talking to Jake in segment 3. In segment 2, we are going to be having a visit with the... We did last week with ACCHS, so this week we're going to have a visit with the AD up at Atchison High, Mark Felvis, the assistant principal and AD. We're going to catch up on all things Phoenix, and that's coming up in segment 3. We're going to have to leave early Saturday.
Yeah, a little early, right?
Get to Des Moines and be ready for a noon game.
But Des Moines, it sounds far away, right? It's really an easy trip. 36, 35, you're there. Boom. Right?
Pretty much.
Like, I think once we get into town, we dip across the highway, cut right by the Capitol, exit off about 3 blocks past the Capitol, and you're at the stadium. And, you know, it's nothing fantastic, the stadium there in Des Moines. But for Grandview, they've been very fortunate at home. And for Benedictine, one of their biggest wins probably in the last 10 years came on that very field. Maybe 2 of their biggest wins over the last 10 years have come on that field. So Benedictine has had some luck up there in Des Moines.
No question about it. And as we look back at last week and the scores around the conference, I don't know if you've got them handy, but I know that Benedictine had that nice victory at the expense of William Penn to start their season up at Wilcox Stadium last Saturday. Ravens racing to a 24-0 halftime lead and going on to a 34-14 win. Jacob Gathright, 100-plus yards receiving and a couple of TDs in the course of the day.
Yeah. Baker knocked off Culver Stockton 26-14. That was a game that we talked about on Saturday. It was close throughout 3 quarters, and then Baker knocked on a couple touchdowns late to make that a little one-sided. Grandview 51-0 over Central Methodist. I don't draw anything from that game because, again, for Central Methodist, you know, you don't know where their heads were at in that kind of a game.
You lost your quarterback from last year. You've had a lot of personnel turnovers and then the internal strife that is going on in the college community and in the program. So, yeah, they got a lot on the
court. Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know that I really put anything into that ballgame. The one game I think that did jump out at me is Missouri Valley getting on the right track, starting the season off 1-0 with a 16-6 win over Peru State. I think I was a little surprised there.
Yeah, and again, Peru State, I thought was going to be, you know, a team in the upper portion of the conference, and still very well may be. And maybe Valley just got a good jump at home, and 16, that's kind of an unusual number. It is today. In the old days, it was, you know, 6-2, and it was easy to get to 16, but not today.
And then, what, 86 points later, Mid-America holds off Graceland 54-32. I mean, so those two teams put up a lot of points, but again, Graceland can't score nearly enough for what their defense is giving up right now. Games going on around the conference on Saturday. We talked about the one we'll be at, Benedictine at number 2 Grandview. That's a noon game. 1 o'clock, we'll have Missouri Valley at Clark. 6 p.m., the rest of them are 6 p.m. games. Central Methodist at Peru State. Mid-America at Culver. Baker at Penn. Evangel at Graceland.
We could just stop in Graceland.
Yeah. We could stop in Lamoni on the way home, but the problem is we'd have to wait like probably 2.5 hours.
We'd be there way before the game started. They wouldn't have the grills warmed up cooking hot dogs yet. I'm
telling you, the onions won't even be ready yet.
So you've got those games going on around the conference, and you know, if you like NAIA football, and why in the world wouldn't you? Along with the games we've just chronicled here, and you've gone down to that conference schedule for the heart, you've got to look at what is obviously the marquee game nationally, and it's happening right up where we're going to be in the Hawkeye State.
Yeah, isn't that crazy that the Benedictine versus Grandview is not even the biggest game in the state of Iowa on Saturday?
What's crazier, is it that or the fact that in Iowa you've got number 1, number 2, and number 3 in the nation all within... What, 2 hours?
Yeah, and they're not in the same conference, right? That's so crazy.
Same conference. Number 3, Northwestern. Red Raiders are going to be going up to play number 1, defending national champion Morningside.
If you're both coaching staffs, you're thrilled. This is game 1. You know why? Whoever loses this game, A, it doesn't hurt you much. B, you have a whole season, and looking at both of their schedules, the only team left on the schedule with a winning record is Waldorf, you know, and Coach Finley has that team playing better, and they are a top 25 team. But again, that's the only top 25 team you're going to see the rest of the season. So for them, you got all season to kind of pad after that loss. So somebody's going to have to lose, but you're going to have all season. And I'm going to tell you, both those teams probably still end up in the top 8 by the end of the season and home games.
Yeah.
For the playoff.
A great one going on up at Morningside Saturday evening. Tell you what, we got to take a quick break. We got so much stuff. Sports Look here on a Thursday night. Stick around. We're going to be talking to a couple of very interesting guys coming up, and we got tons more. Don't go away. Joined here on Sports Look by Mark Felvis. He's the AD. Now, he used to be athletic director. Now, he's activities director at Atchison High School, USD 409. And, Mr. Felvis, thanks so much for your time, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
Activities director, that encompasses a whole lot more than just the sports things that you have to take care of. It's a full plate you have.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, band, choir, forensics. Scholars Bowl, yeah, it's all encompassing.
And with the school season just getting underway, you got a lot of things going on. We're going to talk about football here in just a minute, but you know there are a lot of other fall activities. We got your cross countries and soccer and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, we currently have and numbers are really good in most of our sports. We have 41 girls out for volleyball. We're right around 30-32 in boys soccer. Football has over 40, and cross country we're still very thin there, but we're hoping, we have a new coach hired, and we're hoping that we can start getting some interest in growing that program.
When you were in high school, what was your sport? Was there one?
I played football and baseball in high school, and then I lifted during the winter.
And where was that?
Junction City High School.
A Jay!
Yep. Once a Blue Jay, always a Blue Jay.
So you know Matt Westerhaus pretty well.
Yep. He actually went to school with my older brother, and he was the AD there when I was a teacher, because I went to school in Junction City. I taught in Junction City, and my parents still live there, so I frequent there often.
Mark Felvis with us here on Sports Look. And Mr. Felvis, I think one of the first things, people are kind of interested because we've been talking about the Meadowlark League, and I think we kind of get a lot of sideways glances and we try to explain it, but kind of tell us how it came about that that your conference, you really haven't changed conferences, the conference has just adjusted.
Yeah, we, you know, we were the KCAL, Kansas City Atchison League, and a couple of years back, prior to me getting here to Atchison, they had gone through the process of inviting some other schools to grow our league, and we had a couple Topeka schools that we were talking to originally, and Highland Park joined our league. So obviously the Kansas City Atchison League kind of phased itself out as our league title. And so there was a little bit of a voting process between names that were nominated, and ADs kind of narrowed the decision down, and then each school had a final vote, and the Meadowlark Conference is what stuck. But yeah, it's still the same. It's us. It's all the KCK public schools, you know, Sumner, Wyandotte, Washington, Harmon, and Schlegel. And then we added Highland Park. It is really the only thing that changed.
Is there any conversation about any others possibly jumping in?
Not to my knowledge. I know we're always looking to grow, and we kind of have those conversations of you know, like maybe what direction we might look to go in, and I think a lot of ADs, when you know there's a conference every year, and I think there's a lot of, you know, what might this look like kind of conversations, but nothing right now that is, you know, an act of growth at the moment.
It is an outstanding league, too, because it makes the Phoenix better. They're playing a lot of quality teams, well-coached teams, and, hey, some pretty good-sized schools in that group.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the KCKPS schools, they're all 5A and 6A, and I believe Highland Park is still in that 5A classification. So we are definitely, student population wise, the smallest school in our league, and numbers wise, actually we're numbers actually are looking really good in our league too. We're not the only school that's up. I know there's one KCKPS school that has over 60 football players, and you know, so yeah, there's a lot of growth, I think, in the entire conference, you know, for everybody.
And we start to turn our focus to, of course, football, and it all starts Friday night, and you're at home up at Amelia Earhart Stadium, and we'll say this a couple of times, that you certainly want to invite and encourage all the fans to come up and to support the Phoenix, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we want to fill the stands, and we have I don't know if it's a new opponent or not, but I know they weren't on our schedule previously, but you know, Ottawa's coming up, and we have a 2-year contract with them. We'll go down to Ottawa next year, but you know, our thought is they'll bring a lot of fans. I believe they're a school that travels well. And so yeah, absolutely, the more people we can have in the stands rooting for our kids, you know, the better off we're going to be. That's kind of our focus, you know. Keisha always promotes sportsmanship, and they ask that we do our part to promote that. And, you know, we just want to emphasize, you know, being great guests to our visitors and rooting for Atchison, not against whoever we're playing. So,
and this contract may have been signed prior to your stepping into this position, but how did Ottawa get on the schedule? Because I'm going to tell you, I think it's just a fantastic thing to get them to get on the schedule.
Yeah, no, it was the last year's schedule was done for me, being my first year. They're done a couple of years in advance, and it was just reaching out to opponents. You know, we have Ottawa coming in to start week one. We lost Lafayette last year because of a scheduling conflict, and you know, up coming down from St. Joe, they brought a lot of fans too, and that was a shootout of a game last year. And you know, we look to better ourselves, you know, in every contest that we play, And so, you know, we went out and we got Ottawa, and we think that'll be a good challenge. I think that's two teams that play at pretty much the same level. So it should be a pretty good competitive game. We will go to Perry Lecompton, a little smaller school, but definitely a lot of history, you know, in their football program. They will be another tough non-conference game for us. And but that's just it. You know, we and not to get too far ahead, but our winter basketball schedule is another one that's going to we're going to challenge our kids, because we want them to get better. We want them to persevere. You know, that rigor and that grind that makes them, you know, great student athletes, but also, you know, those life skills that athletics brings to kids is kind of our main goal.
Mr. Felbus, it was kind of timely that you mentioned not only we're talking about the Ottawa game coming up Friday night, but the trip down to Perry, because that's going to be another game that Gus and I are going to be at, and we'll be excited and looking forward to broadcasting that game from down at Perry, another really, really quality opponent coming out of the Big Seven.
Yeah, we were excited to get them as well, and again, you know, it just comes down to, you know, last year I was absolutely the new guy in town, kind of a thing, and being new to this role, just building those relationships with coaches and you know, and again, just great competition. That's what we're looking for, and you know, the league is developing and getting better, or the conference now, I guess, Metal Arc Conference, you know, bringing in Highland Park, they have some high octane kids that are just, you know, flat out great athletes, and that's going to be a good challenge for us again this year, and you know, in football as well as other sports, they're a very athletic school.
And as you, the new guy coming in, as you said, even though you're in your second year, how good is it though to have those steady hands, those guys who've been around the block a little bit? Jim Smith, you know, the football coach who's been there for many years, Pat Battle, who's a tried and tested, experienced head coach for your guys. I mean, it's got to be great to have a staff like that to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they kind of, you know, they know who they want to play. We are all kind of aligned in that same vision of, you know, challenging and getting better each day, you know, with a challenging schedule and everything. But yeah, those guys, and I actually know Coach Battle from Junction City when I was out there as a teacher and a coach, and so there was a little bit of familiarity there. But anytime you can have a veteran coach that kind of can answer those "what do we do now" kind of questions, it definitely helps.
Well, I tell you what, Mark Felbus, the AD at Atchison High, USD 409, we appreciate you taking some time out. We are so excited, and we are certain that you are. And again, come on up to Amelia Earhart Stadium Friday night, right, and watch the Phoenix.
Absolutely. 7 o'clock kick, and our guys are ready to get after it.
Thank you very much, sir. We will see you Friday.
All right. Have a good one.
We've got Jacob Leonard with us, member of the Benedictine College football staff. Jacob, first of all, thanks very much for taking some time, man. How are you doing today?
No, I'm great. Thank you for having me.
First of all, we got to start off with the fact that, unlike some of the coaches, you are a Benedictine grad. You came through the program, and it's got to be kind of a cool feeling to have been in the program and been in successful games and now be able to stay on and help the new guys come in.
It actually is. It's literally like a dream come true. Not everybody gets to coach for their alma mater. Not everybody gets to, you know, be on the field and then actually see people develop and then go to the coaching side. And now you have an impact on someone's life every day. It's probably one of the best jobs I think anybody could ever have.
We need to talk about a little background for you. First of all, tell us about high school. We're gonna reach clear back before you came to Benedictine. Where did you play high school ball at, and what was your experience like there?
Okay, so we're going way back.
We'll go way back machine here.
I went to Sunrise Mountain High School in Peoria, Arizona. I was a part of what was the turnaround in that program. So before my class, our school had actually never been to the playoffs or won a section title. And my senior year was the first year that we had actually a top 10 seed in the playoffs and made it to the playoffs. And we actually were section champs that year as well.
So kind of give me some perspective. How big is that school?
So we're in Arizona, so it was a 4A at the time, and we were about 2,000 kids, and now it is a 5A, and they're around 2,500.
That is incredible. So you play football there, and there's got to be a pretty cool story about you coming from that program and that far away to the heart of America here in Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. How'd that happen?
All right. So I have always been around Benedictine. My dad is actually a alum from Benedictine College. He graduated here in 1987 and played baseball. His brother actually went here as well. He graduated and played baseball, and he graduated in 89. He was actually a draft pick by the Cubs, from our baseball program. My aunt went here, graduated in 87, got her master's, and then also my cousin graduated from Benedictine in 2016. So I've known Benedictine for a while. I went the JUCO route out of high school because I had some pre-existing injuries. I actually was able to get a Division I offer out of junior college. So it actually took me a couple tries to come back to BC.
And tell me then a little bit about that football playing career in high school. Obviously, you were very successful, and that just kind of transitioned into coming to BC. What was it that sold you on coming to Atchison to the college?
You know, it was really the coaching staff, Coach Wilcox. You know, going through the recruitment process one time is stressful, let alone three times. And after I was kind of going away from my Division I university that I was at, I didn't really want to open it up to a lot of schools. But Benedictine was the one that stayed with me. They believed in me, had a plan for me, and ultimately when I came here, it felt like home.
So You decided that, you're going to come to Benedictine, play your career here. And by the way, as big games go for Benedictine football, you played in the biggest so far.
That whole year was actually a crazy experience. I'm super close with a lot of players that were on that team. And, you know, it's funny, you know, we're celebrating one of the biggest moments of our life in the national championship, and I'm fortunate enough to get to go to some of their weddings and, you know, see their kids now. It's a great experience. But football is just, football at BC is amazing. And, you know, the saying that we have is we arrive as strangers, we grow as friends, and we leave as one is one of my favorites because, I came in as a transfer. I had 2 years here and I've made some of the best friends that I've ever had in my life playing football. It's an indescribable feeling.
We're visiting with Jacob Leonard, member of the Benedictine College football staff. And so you played ball through high school. You played at a couple of post-secondary institutions. You had the chance to go to a national championship game here at Benedictine, but you hadn't gotten your fill of football. How did you just always know that I wanted to be a coach, or was that something that came later?
I actually did not know that I wanted to be a coach at first. You know, I had always been interested in exercise science. I was fascinated by the way the body moves and how it works and how it operates. But I knew deep down that I wanted to be around sports because I grew up playing sports. I played football, baseball. I was a swimmer at one point, believe it or not. Anything that I could compete in. I was a wrestler. In high school, I was actually a four-sport athlete playing football, wrestling, track and baseball. So I just always wanted to be around sports no matter what. But as far as coaching, I didn't know what I wanted to do after I graduated. And I actually approached Coach Wilcox and asked if I could apply for the graduate assistant program. And he got back to me actually as I was on the trip for the NAI Senior Bowl. And he said, the job is yours. So that's when I kind of opened that door. And actually when I got and I was going through, Coach Hauser, who's on the staff, he really sold me on what it means to be a coach. And from that moment on, I hit the ground running and I never wanted to do anything else but coach. I mean, being around athletes and just having an impact on someone's life every day is eye-opening to me. And playing football, I always tell people, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. And I absolutely love what I do every day.
Jacob Leonard with us here, and a lot of people may overlook the fact that, you know, they think football or they think athletes and they think, you know, nothing but gridiron, but they also have to understand that you're a two-time NAIA scholar athlete, along with being captain on that 19 team.
Yeah. So my brain always told me, or my parents always told me, that my brain would take me farther than athletics would. I showed them a time or two on that one. But I've just always been really attuned to my grades, and I always wanted to exceed any expectations, whether it was on the field, in the classroom. You know, at some point, a competition is going to occur, and, you know, you need to have the grades and the education to back it up. But, you know, honestly, all of those accolades, you know, being named team captain for, you know, high school, junior college, and here, it means a lot, because it means the players around me trusted me that I could lead them, and they trusted that my leadership could take them somewhere.
Well, you coach on this Benedictine team, and you're coaching tight ends. And how'd you get to be tight end coach, I guess?
So after the passing of one of our volunteer coaches, Coach Terry Vickers, he was a great addition to our staff. And, you know, we had to fill an opening, and Coach Wilcox actually came up to me and asked me if I would take over that position. And I said, of course. So I had to learn a little bit, you know, where, again, Coach Hauser comes in and he teaches me the receiving aspect of everything. Because, you know, playing in the front five for my whole career, you don't really learn a lot of the ins and outs of receiver play. So combining that was a challenge. And then, you know, when Coach Osborne gets hired, he actually did not have me as the tight ends coach originally. He did not know what I knew and what I could do. So he actually had me as the assistant O-line coach. And then when Coach Johnson stepped away, he moved me to tight ends, and I've never looked back. I mean, with our offense now being multiple formation, you know, spread personnel, we're running like the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, being a tight end, you're almost in the age of tight ends. It's awesome, you know. And I actually do call my group the Mules. So the mule itself is a hybrid between a thoroughbred horse and a donkey. So it's kind of a good symbolism between a hybrid between an offensive lineman and a receiver.
Well, you talk about the academic side of this a little bit, and along with your duty as a tight ends coach, you are academic coordinator. Tell me a little bit about that aspect of your position up here.
So academic coordinator is basically me mentoring kids to help them succeed at Benedictine College. We all know that Benedictine is great academic school, but it does face some challenges, and I want to put the kids in the best position possible for them to succeed. So being an academic coordinator means that, you know, I will break down all of their schedules. I will see what we can do to adjust to make sure that they are on the right success plan. And of course, working with the Student Success Center and academic counselors, I mean, a lot goes into it. We just want to put the kids in the best position possible. So whether it's looking at schedules, looking at class attendance, you know, I get alerts every time something bad happens. You know, I also get alerts every time something good happens. So, you know, it's always just, it goes back to being for the kids at all times.
Jacob Leonard with us here. And Jacob, who is your football inspiration? When you were, you know, a young guy, and, you know, a lot of times you look, have somebody that you want to look up to, or someone that kind of mentors you. Who is that for you?
So I had a few. You know, playing-wise, high school, I really always looked up to actually a younger kid that was on the team. his name was Chase Cord. He was actually my quarterback. He started as a freshman and continued his sophomore year with me. That kid had all the talent in the world, and he was probably one of the most humble, down-to-earth humans I've ever met in my life. He actually went on to play at Boise State University. He and I are still really great friends. I just can't say enough about that kid. But, you know, as you move along, you know, at my junior college, my offensive line coach is one of the best people I've ever met in my life. And, you know, he has great connections with everybody. He's actually the head coach at Brophy College Prep in Arizona. It's a private Catholic school in the Valley. So he is always on me about who I should be recruiting. And he and I have never lost touch ever. He's one of the greatest people, but he also taught me about the game, which I can never repay. And then, you know, going into NAU, the starting center there was a 45-game starter at a Division I university, which is unheard of at the offensive line position. And he actually taught me the ins and outs of center. He played it. He experienced it. He was an all-conference kid. And, you know, for him to actually just take me under his wing meant a lot to me. And then when I got here, you know, Coach Papagiorgio he's the man. You know, he teaches how to be a man and also play on the offensive line. I mean, playing for him was unbelievable. And as far as, you know, professionally, I always look up to J.J. Watt. The guy's a workhorse and always comes back. So, I've had a lot of great influences in my life.
Tell me, pull a number out of the sky. How many Huskies stories did Coach Pop share with you?
About 492.
I bet that may even be a modest number. I love it.
And I think it is modest because I think he repeats them a couple of times.
Hey, if you weren't doing this, what would you be doing now?
I honestly couldn't think of anything else I'd be doing. Like I said, like if you're happy with what you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life. I couldn't imagine myself anywhere else.
In your spare time, besides football, and that could be kind of a full-time job, but what, Jake Leonard, what are your hobbies? What do you like to do other than coaching ball?
Well, when I'm not, I love to hunt and fish. You know, I'm a real, like, outdoors kind of guy. I love to compete still. So, you know, a couple of the teachers on campus and other staff and faculty will get together and we'll do some sand volleyball, slow pitch softball, anything I can do to compete. You know, I'm also a big movie goer. I actually have a thing for movies. I can quote a lot of them for some reason. I don't know why. But, you know, I'm just very down to earth. I just love to be outside, and I love being active, really.
Cinderella story. That's like my favorite quote of any movie. From Caddyshack.
All right.
Not one of yours.
Here's the Cinderella story here.
There you go.
Beautiful weather here in Augusta. There's a slight breeze blowing from the southwest.
That's outstanding. Well done, man. Hey, do you have a childhood sports hero?
Say that again?
Did you have a sports hero when you were a youngster, a kid, you know, when you're watching games or football, baseball, something? Was there anybody that you said, wow, this is the guy I like?
So actually when I started looking at tight ends, you know, I'm a big Iowa Hawkeye fan and they're kind of tight end university. And when I started seeing him play and seeing what Iowa has been producing, so the first guy I actually ever really admired and were actively paying attention to is George Kittle. I love what he does as a tight end, as a blocker, as a receiver. You know, I literally have drills that are set up because of George Kittle. You know, one of my drills I do with the tight ends is called the Get North Drill. I teach them to be a big body. I mean, they're 6'4", 250, start running like it. But after Kittle, you know, you start looking at that tight end position and they have two first round picks the next year with TJ Hawkinson and Noah Fant. And then, you know, Sam Laporta has come on lately. I mean, I have just always been glued to what George Kittle can do with the football.
Jake Blanard, it's really been a pleasure to get a chance to meet you and learn a little bit more about you. We see you down on the sideline. We see you working up at the Amino constantly with the guys, and it's just good to get a chance to, you know, to get you away from that and have a little visit. Interesting stuff, and we wish you and these Ravens an absolutely fantastic season. We're looking forward to some great things here in 22.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully I didn't bore anybody to death.
You did fantastic. Thanks a lot, Jacob.
Yep, thank you.
Back with you here on Sports Look, as we appreciate our conversations with our good friends. And now, guys, we've got to talk about rapid fire. There is a boatload of stuff coming up. The Chiefs don't play yet, but they have trimmed the roster to 53. And for me, maybe as interesting as the 53 that they've got on the regular roster are some of the guys who they have signed to the practice squad.
Yeah, so they've got a handful of guys to the practice squad that I think that you turn around and you're like, all right, well, that's kind of an interesting move. They were able to bring back, what, Big Danny Shelton and put him on the practice squad. You know, I think their depth on defensive line is going to mostly be in the practice squad. You signed a big tight end out of Mizzou, and you're going to put him there. Again, there are some veterans, and I think when it's all said and done, I know Josh Gordon right now is still milling around trying to figure out what he wants to do with his next step. He visited Tennessee the other day. But when it comes down to it, I really think that he's a guy you would like to see back on the practice squad. I think for me, though, the biggest surprise, you kept three quarterbacks, right? Shane Bichelle, the third-year guy out of Texas, is somebody who they really like as a backup. And so you're going to try to ride with three quarterbacks, something that you just don't see anymore.
No, not really. And, you know, I don't know why they're carrying three, because I would have thought that that 53rd spot could have gone to a couple of three other guys, perhaps. But the thing, and I talked to you about this a couple of days ago, the thing that I find absolutely remarkable and a tremendous job for the Chiefs is that every player that they have drafted in the last 2 years, they have signed to a contract today.
Yeah. Still. Yep. All those guys are signed and still with the team. So that's a pretty cool deal. I thought you were going to say that maybe some of your favorite things were that not only did Kansas City keep three quarterbacks, they kept four running backs, four tight ends, and a fullback.
I like the fullback. Four, you need four running backs, really?
No, not at all, but why not,
and
right?
Especially in their offense. Yeah. I don't need four. Yeah.
So, I mean, I really think that when it's all said and done that Ronald Jones probably gets traded, but, you know, we'll see.
So what you do, is that why you hold him close?
Because
you've got the bargaining?
Yeah, and I think that it came down to everybody's like, oh, they're going to cut him, so I'm not going to give Kansas City a draft pick for him. You know, even if it is a sixth, they're like, I'll get him for free in a week. And then when Kansas City says, we'll call your bluff, we can hold him, because here's the deal. You're talented enough that you can keep a guy and tuck him away on the roster. Like, that's pretty big deal. So for Kansas City, again, kind of cool that they're able to keep that many guys, but I really am not so sure Ronald Jones is still on this team next week when we're here.
Chiefs will be playing next week as they start on the 11th of September. They're going to be at Arizona, and we always talk about the over and under and then point differential. Kansas City is a 4.5-point favorite. That may become even more interesting to the fans of Sports Look as the days go on here in Kansas.
Yeah, what? I think this afternoon everything went live for Kansas, so again, there'll be lots of people around the area, and you can't turn on a TV without seeing commercials, right?
Oh my gosh.
And so it's just kind of crazy, but you believe that next Thursday night we'll be racing out of here to try to get home and find the Bills-Rams game? Thursday night.
And that will really be a good entertaining game.
Should be fantastic right
now. And the Bills are a big favorite in that one, and I'm surprised. I don't know that they're that. I mean, I think they're pretty good, but I don't know if they're any better than the Rams.
Yeah, so I think there'll be a lot of points scored. I'll be interested to see what the over-under is.
Royals dropped one again last night, but now they're going to be at the Tigers this weekend as Kansas City winding down the MLB season.
Can I tell you what I'm excited about is that the MLB season's winding down. You get away from these 1 o'clock games. Like, just hurry up, wrap it up. Let's move on to, you know, next year's baseball season.
Maybe. And for Royals fans, that's kind of where they're at with it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean.
But again, they've got a lot of hope, because now you've come late in the year, you've gotten rid of the Merrifields and a lot of the older guys, and you're playing a rookie team, and they're not doing bad, you know. They show you a lot of promise and give you a lot to look forward to.
Oh, no, if you saw, was it last night? Yeah, last night Bobby Witt Jr. hit like a 440-foot bomb, and it was a ball that looked like he was in on his hands. He flipped the wrist, and next thing you know, that thing just soared. And so, I mean, like, he's a guy who I think is starting to really figure it out, and he's had a great year, right? The only problem is the kid in Seattle had a better year. So I think that for Kansas City, you're cautiously optimistic about a lot of things.
And if you're in St. Louis, you're still counting down. But now there's beginning to be, you know, how people like to, people love to have something to talk about and to cast some shade on individuals. And that's happening right now in the chase to 61.
We're talking about Pujols getting closer.
Yeah, you see, so, because here's the deal. What I'm hearing is a lot of people are saying, you know, what has happened? What's going on with Albert? You go into the All-Star break, you look like he was like just maybe not even going to play much in the second half of the year. He's batting 190-something. And suddenly, in the second half of the season, he is hitting an astronomical percentage. He is hitting the ball long. And people are raising their eyebrows a little bit saying, what has happened to Albert?
Yeah, so Albert Pujols has hit 388 with 11 home runs in his last 98 at-bats.
See, that's
crazy. I mean, when you're having a guy hitting almost 400 in the last 100 at-bats, it's something to maybe keep an eye on. Right now he's sitting at 694 looking for 700. I don't know. I think at this point, unless he gets another game of a double, he's going to be in trouble getting there.
It's a deal, though. He's in the Hall of Fame regardless, whether he's got 695 or whether he's got, you know, 705.
Yeah, but again, I think it's just, you know, that number.
It is a magic.
Do you really want to be 699 guy? You know.
Shifting quickly back to college football, it kind of begins tonight, and Oklahoma State's going to be at home, and, man, they're just going to take Central Michigan and thrash him around and, you know, get a little practice round in.
Yeah, and tonight I think the better game is West Virginia at Pitt. That's a 6 o'clock game right now. Pitt is 7.5-point favorite in that ball game. I wouldn't be shocked if West Virginia comes out and wins that ball game because, again, early season game. It's a rivalry game. What they call it, like the backyard brawl or something like that. I mean, it's you know, a big deal up there.
Lance Leipold is going to be competing against Lawrence High for fans Friday evening.
Remember, Lawrence playing tonight.
Lawrence is tonight. That's right. Oh, that worked out perfect because KU is going to be at home. They're going to begin their season tomorrow night, Friday night, 7 o'clock, hosting Tennessee Tech. And Leipold is, he's maybe looking to make some kind of a statement, but I just don't know how many horses he's got.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that Kansas is going to be a little better than you think. I feel like they're a lot. I don't expect them to win a lot of games, but I expect them to be a little more competitive in those games. A team that is going to be good this year, Kansas State, will be hosting South Dakota. Again, Kansas State getting no credit, no preseason ranking. That's a 6 p.m. game at Bill Snyder Family Stadium.
And be very aware, it is South Dakota, not SDSU.
Right.
So, and there's a difference there.
You want to know a game that's going to be just awful, and I'm not even sure why you play it?
Bethune?
Yeah. Bethune-Cookman going to be at number 16 Miami. This will be Mario Cristobal's first game at the helm for the Hurricanes since coming back home, and I think that he is going to put on a show. You know, he is a guy from that old-school Miami, you know, style of let's have fun, and
took away the turnover chain, man.
I know, but I have a feeling he'll have something fun or something because, again, he's from those Canes.
Did you see where UNLV's got a sideline turnover slot machine?
I saw the slot machine. And I think the bigger thing that I had on it was that most of those athletes aren't even old enough to be able to do that.
No.
So, again, it was just kind of one of those things that, again, only in Vegas, baby.
Nationally ranked games also going on Saturday in the afternoon at 2:30. You're going to have Oregon playing in Atlanta against number 3 Georgia. Georgia, I'm telling you what, they could repeat.
Yeah, Georgia's stacked. They're a 17-point favorite against Oregon. I don't know. I just don't think that game will be as competitive as 11 versus 3 you thought would be. The game that I'm excited for is number 23 Cincinnati at number 19 Arkansas. That's a 2:30 game on Saturday. Arkansas a slight favorite at 2.5, but again, Cincinnati really good. Luke Fickell, great coach. I think that Cincinnati is going to be a nice add to the Big 12.
And here's the thing. On our way home, we'll be able to listen to that as we're coming back from Des Moines, I think.
Yeah.
And, of course, the national, you know, the big game, you know, the marquee game, if you will, is going to be Notre Dame, number 5, at number 2, Ohio State. Can they stay close?
No. Notre Dame...
I know. I wish that people could see Gus as he's like stopping and kind of closing eyes, taking a deep breath as he gets ready to talk about Notre Dame.
Rolls out of my
ears
anytime I talk about Notre Dame football, right? Like, it just hasn't been of anything, right? Like, of late. Because Notre Dame is a team who every year we hype up and we're like, all right, this is their year. They may win 5 games against, you know, the service schools. And you're like, all right, here they go. They're it. And then they end up coming up against a team that's half decent, and then they lose, right? Notre Dame at Ohio State. I know it's a 17-point game. I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking more like a 28-point game, because I just don't think Notre Dame is nearly as good as Ohio State. I don't think they're as good as they get the hype for.
I think Notre Dame's within 10 at the end of 3 quarters.
You are crazy. Yeah, and maybe we'll be talking about that next week, but I think that, you know, they'll be lucky to be within 10 at the end of the first quarter.
Fair enough. Hey, we got a lot of football coming up here on Care Radio, and it all begins tomorrow night as high school football gets underway. You've got Ottawa at Atchison, 7 o'clock kickoff right here on Care Radio. Saturday, high noon, 11:30 a.m. pregame show as the Benedictine Ravens on the road will be in Des Moines as they face number 2, Grandview. And, of course, Sports Look next week. We want to thank our interviewees today, Mark Feltus, Atchison High School's AD. We want to thank Jake Leonard, coach up at Benedictine College, and thank you for having joined us. Also, got to thank our fantastic Sport Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, Exchange Bank. Tim, great to next time. For Gus Scouts, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.